To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. We are here with Amy Close, who went from her day job, which was being an employment attorney, to launching her own business. You all hear me always say, what are you good at? What comes comfortable for you? And where do you want to really go? And then how do you do it? So we're going to dive into that, Amy. Thanks for being here. Tell us about your journey. What made you decide, you know, I'm ready for a change. I'm going to start my own business because that sounds easy.
It does sound easy. And I actually thought it sounded easier than it ended up being. So since I was a young girl, I have always thought, I don't want a boss. I don't want to report to people and do all of these things that I see other adults going through and being miserable in. But I ended up going the route of the corporate route. You know, I think in my generation, that's kind of just what you did. You went, you got your education, you went into the corporate world and started making money. And then you just, you know, kind of get stuck there. And getting stuck there was exactly what I struggled with for so many years was, you know, I don't like having the blockers that are always there when you're trying to make quick decisions, or you see something in a way that maybe others aren't seeing it, and you feel like your expertise is not being heard, or you're not being able to make that impact that you want to make. And it just got to the point in my age and in my lifestyle where I said, it's enough is enough. I need to, you know, just take the leap and go and be my own boss and have my own ability to kind of work when my brain works best, think creatively, release myself from some of the trappings and anxieties that happen in the corporate world and, you know, the constant competition. And again, like kind of being in that where I was, that middle management zone where your impact doesn't, you know, really get felt, but you feel like you have a lot to offer and a lot is left on the table at the end of the day. You know, and that's when I decided, you know, now's the time to just go ahead and take the leap. And so I did.
Okay. Well, I love that. So you talked about a number of things, and every time, not every time, but quite often recently, when I read the newspaper in the morning or the online newspaper, they're talking about all these layoffs. We just went through a huge nether round of layoffs in the tech world. But it's not just tech. It's other places that people are getting laid off. You also talked about, not that you got laid off, but it's just that part that is lingering over so many people, right? You know, what if, and do I really have the cojones to go out and do my own thing? What am I going to do? Right. And then you talked about competition. And I see this a lot with women. And what's so interesting, Amy, I've been an entrepreneur for over half my life now. Now that I'm like, what, I never thought of it that way, but it's been over half my life. I've been an entrepreneur. And what's interesting is when I talk to women who are very successful in the corporate world, there is a different kind of mentality that I see. It's that competitive mentality because survival, right? They're ambitious and they want to get to a certain level and they have to play by different rules often than I see men having to play by.
Oh, for sure.
And then, but when I see women who are entrepreneurs, there's a shift. And all of a sudden I see women when they're given the opportunity, they're authentic. They want to help each other. The gloves come off and they raise each other off. And that's, I don't know. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that feeling?
Yeah. I love how you phrased that because I do think that that is the case. You know, you do need more folks around you to support you at this point. When you're out on your own, you cannot just close the laptop at night and just think things are going to come to you. You have to be always seeking. And so one of the things that I always struggled with in the corporate world was networking. I was like, what's that? I don't want to do anything after work. I have kids. I'm exhausted. What is it really going to get me? But now that I'm doing my own thing, I have to network so much. And so I'm meeting people in the same field. They offer very similar services. I still have that competitive drive of how am I going to, and it's a constant, you know, thought in my head of how am I going to distinguish myself? How am I going to, you know, accentuate the parts of me that are different than the others that are bringing similar products or similar kind of services? But there isn't, as you pointed out, there isn't that same feeling of let me, you know, trample on this person and win over them. It's really more like, how are we going to get together so that maybe we optimize what we're doing? Maybe we accentuate what we're doing together because we're on this journey that's really a struggle that we all can relate to so deeply because it's our own. You know, it's not complaining about the company anymore. It's not complaining about the boss or what's the CEO not doing or doing this week. It's me now. And we all can relate to that struggle. So when I speak with other women, especially in my field, when I'm in networking events or I'm in groups or community type activities, it is more about like, what are you doing now? And what's, you know, your biggest strength? And hey, I have this client who really, I think I could use you to, you know, make my services better in that way. And that's what I've seen. And I've networked a lot with other folks who have been unfortunately laid off that I've known from companies in the past. And they have been all women who have decided to do the same thing. I'm done with this. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm at that age where I have the expertise and I have the value add ready to go. And we have had, you know, either semi-monthly or monthly meetings where we're just talking about our journeys ourselves and giving each other advice, even if it's just like, hey, I need a tax, someone to help me do my business taxes, or I need, you know, the Small Business Association, which one are you using and which person have you used? From that level to, you know, how are you getting clients to even referring clients? You know, just knowing that this isn't my bag, I can do this, but this is really for you. And just knowing that, you know, handing that off to somebody else, doing the same kind of thing that you're doing with the same kind of goals of being on your own and making that work for you and your lifestyle forevermore, hopefully, you know, I think that that has really changed my mindset of embracing the strength, particularly of women, because I feel so strongly about the capabilities of women and how much they're held back in a corporate world. And then doing that on your own with other women and just hearing the thoughts and the creativity, it's like unleashed a new kind of respect that I have for other professionals in my field. So what you touched on really hits home to me because I have found myself, my mindset change in a way that I think was naturally there, but wasn't really fostered or encouraged in the corporate world.
That's the beauty of being your own boss, right? Yeah. Like that's where you can get those, you get the reins back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned something about, you know, you talk with women who are in the same field. And that can be a little challenging. One thing that I talk with my clients about all the time is what makes you unique? What's your different spin? You're in HR. HR is HR, but not really. Yes. There's so many different aspects of it. And especially, we're in California, and California, we're a little crazy when it comes to all this stuff. But you come from being an employment attorney. Right. So that's your, you know, I don't think there's a ton of you out there who started your own HR firm. Right. So that's your unique positioning. So that's where you can kind of raise up. And then what I see being really helpful for not just women, but just any entrepreneur is when you can collaborate with others. So maybe it is with others who are in the same field, but maybe it's not. But when you can collaborate and bring in your own genius and come up with something together, that's when businesses fly, especially if they're new. Well, not just especially if they're new and you're trying to get clients, right? You said you go to networking events, which I personally hate, but that's my own personal thing. but it's a great way to tap into someone else's network for not a lot of money, but where you can benefit too, because you have such expertise that you can bring value to, right? So it's a great way to grow your business. And then also when you get to a certain level and you want to get to that following level, obviously, we're ambitious women. Collaborating again with other people that can help raise up is a great opportunity. So I'm saying, I know that you know this, Amy, but I'm just saying it so that for those who are listening, you get that into your head, right? Because we get stuck and we're behind our computers. We have our own little bubble and we forget to look outside at what's possible. So that's why I brought that up. So that was my own little rant. But so tell me, Amy, what's kind of your plan with where you are right now when we're recording this? It's January of 2024 and your business is about 6 months. Well, you've been doing your business for a while, but you know, it's under 2 years old.
Yes.
Where do you want to take it by the end of the year? What will make you feel like, you know what? I slayed this year. I did a great job. I felt good.
Well, great question. I have a lot of different things that I kind of write out for myself. And one of my biggest goals and what I've been working on from kind of the presentation perspective is a product of my own. So in and you talked about specialization, and this is kind of where I specialize and where both of my employment law hat and my HR hat kind of meet, and positions that I've held in corporate before have, you know, really helped me to get to this place now, is in employee relations. And so it's kind of that nitty gritty, that, you know, not so savory aspect of HR. It's not a lot of the exciting, fun, you know, new initiatives and, you know, engagement type things. It's more of the, you know, let's let people who have maybe complaints of discrimination be heard, other grievances against policy, conflicts within the workplace that I think, you know, often are just things that are left to fester and get out of control, performance management, that sort of thing. So that's kind of been where the compliance side, my employment law hat, has helped me to really, you know, make those kind of programs more proactive and more robust and more centered around the human being and not necessarily around, hey, let's protect the company and tell people what they want to hear when they know it's BS and they don't really, you know, believe you or think that you're there to protect them. You know, that's the area where I really thrive and where I've really grown my practice when I was corporate. And so my goal this year is to start to get clients that are kind of on a retainer, you know, where they maybe do a monthly or a quarterly, where I am their reporting mechanism, as opposed to having an in-house person like I used to be. I used to be the inaugural role. I've done four different tech companies since I left the public sector, where I started an employee relations program. And so what I noticed is that having it in-house is difficult. It is, you know, you have to kind of get through that. Well, who's paying your salary and who's, you know, telling you what to do? And you're obviously reporting to someone else in, you know, the executive structure who's, you know, never going to take the employee's side. And so I've always been like, this isn't right being in-house. So I want to be that out, you know, sourced place for employees to kind of be like, hey, here's this phone number, which, believe it or not, my website came with a phone number. Here's a phone number. And by the way, I say that because some companies still have these hotlines, you know, where you report these things. So I have a phone number and then a portal through my website where I become the reporting mechanism for your organization. So whether it be a small, just starting out type of thing, and like you pointed out in California in particular, the threshold for having to deal with these kind of issues very promptly and try to mitigate, you know, your risk is way lower than it is for the rest of the United States. So being here, I can start with smaller business and just kind of get those clients on and have me be, you know, and I've already kind of created the program, I'm the policy insert. So your handbook says, here's where you go when you have an issue. Hey, managers, here's where you go when your team is having a conflict that you think could escalate, or even just doing the training on those types of things as part of the package. But being that first stop for employees that's outsourced, that you as an organization can say, hey, this person is not, they don't have a dog in the fight in our organization. They're not involved politically with anybody. They don't go out for beers with the CEO. They're not BFFs with, you know, this manager and that manager. They don't care. They're here to hear you out. You can call them anonymously. I can take, you know, all of the notes that I need to take. I know what needs to be done right away. So I have my point of contact within the organization, whether it be the general counsel or even the head of HR or even the CEO, and just let them know very light touch, this is what's going on. I'm working either through an investigation or through, you know, whatever path may be the proper one, you know, for that employee relations thing. So I want to get, my goal is to get 3 retainer clients by the end of this year, meaning by the end of the calendar year. And I think that, you know, with my presentation that I have to give and all of kind of just, you know, the visual outline of what this actually means for an organization and presenting that almost in like a cold calling way, you know, by filtering organizations, you know, either through, like I've been looking through Y Combinator to see who's getting funded this year in terms of tech, but also, you know, smaller business in my local community. I live in the East Bay of California, which has just an abundance of entrepreneurial type of businesses that may need these services. And so getting 3 of those clients that are paying me on a regular basis just to be there, to be that person who, or to be that organization, you know, that team who is there to take these complaints and then to handle them from, you know, A to Z. That's really what my goal is. So sorry for the long-winded answer, but that that's pretty much what I'm looking to do, is to get that as like a product that I roll out. That is, you know, a service in and of itself, but is framed in such a way that it's you know, kind of a one price situation, you know, no matter how many issues you might have in your org.
Okay. So there's a lot of things that I like with that. One is I love the retainer model. You're an attorney, so that's kind of normal, but it's a very good business model. But number two, I didn't realize the impact that you can have when you're on the outside as an HR person. And hearing you articulate that, I can see how it creates more authenticity and it kind of puts the gloves down, right? For people, they don't feel as like, who's she fighting for, right? So
exactly.
I never really thought about that. Okay, but now here's my question to you. So you want to have 3 retainer clients by the end of the year. Do you plan to scale that part of your business, or are you going to have other products that you sell? Or are you just kind of cool with, you know, having just a certain amount? You know, what's kind of your growth plan from there?
Well, you know, I do kind of soup to nuts HR. So if other things kind of come in through referral or through, you know, like I've done my first big win was a pretty sensitive workplace investigation. So that's kind of its own business, is workplace investigations. There's people that just do that. You know, I see myself kind of picking up those cases as they come along as well. And then if other things kind of take off, I'd go in that direction. But I felt like it was very important for me to put some kind of product, you know, kind of mentality around what I'm offering and go after that for now. Scaling even just that, I think, is something that is possible and not too difficult to do. The overhead would not be massive. It would be just maybe hiring, which of course is, you know, its own thing, as I know very well, but as most people know, I think, who have been in their own business. But I think scaling that is in and of itself its own kind of, it would be just enough for me to feel like my business is a success. So if I had 3 and I had made it 6, and then I was able to kind of put, you know, one person on one client and another person on another client, and I handled kind of the escalations, to me, that is a lifestyle I want to lead. And I think that is enough kind of income stream where I would feel very happy and comfortable, and I would still have time to, you know, my children are young, to be with them and to do the things that I really want to do it from anywhere in the world if I want to, you know, to have that freedom to travel. That's kind of what I do think I want to try to, you know, aim toward for the next year, maybe 2 years. If other things kind of come my way, I'm here for that. I'm, you know, highly, I've worn every hat in the book when it comes to HR and employment law in-house, particularly in the tech sector. So I am able to do a lot of, like, you know, HR, you know, setting up of systems and of job architectures and kind of your general core HR. If those type of clients come my way, or if through my networks, that's the type of thing that comes, I see that being, you know, another great stream for me. But I want to focus on this because I think that this is something that most folks don't do, first of all. And second of all, I don't think this service is offered as like an outplaced, impartial, independent person handling these types of things for your organization, and really, you know, having this be something that you can put as an organization, you can put this in your benefits package and say, we have this. And this is like your own personal advocate almost, you know, type of thing, where that in and of itself, I think is a lot of work, and scaling that is something that I think is a, you know, could be very, very, very big, you know, in the end, as it grows. So that is really my focus, for now. But, you know, again, like I said, you know, there are these one-off things that I do now currently, and I also, you know, hope to continue to do. And if one of those takes off in another direction, I'm open for that as well. I don't want to just like, you know, completely box myself in, but, you know, I think that this is something that has legs, and I think it can be something very scalable.
Isn't that the beauty of being a small business, right? Like how you just said it, you know, if something else comes up and it tends to take off, I'm in, right? Here's my idea. Here's my plan. However, that's the beauty of it, right? The other thing that you mentioned, which I want to really point out, is you're coming from the standpoint of this is the lifestyle I want. You mentioned that you have young kids, but you know the lifestyle that you want, and you're building backwards from that. There is so much power in there because we can, you know, all of us are capable of making a very successful business. However, when we say successful, that could be financially successful, however, not emotionally successful. And there's a big fat difference. And as women, when we aren't sticking with our core values and what really matters to us, we'll never be happy.
100%.
So I love that you brought that up. Okay, so before we jump, I want you to tell me, what has been one of the biggest challenges you have encountered so far as you've started this company?
Well, I think my biggest challenges come from myself. And just like you're saying, and kind of the whole theme of what we've kind of gone through here from an entrepreneurial perspective is, you know, getting out of that employee mindset. You know, I've had clients, I currently have a client where I'm kind of freelancing, and I feel like sometimes I'm worried, you know, that I'm not doing what they need, or, you know, I'm worried to ask them for clarification or for things like that. And I'm like, I'm in this employee mindset. And so it's almost like I have to snap that, you know, proverbial rubber band and say, get out of that. It's your business. You lose a client, okay, you know, you move on to the next. You do what you need to do and what you think is right for your business. And so that has been a big challenge for me, is getting, you know, out of that, like feeling like I have to report to someone on a daily basis, or I have to produce something that day to earn my keep. You know, so that I think is number one. Number two is really being true to myself, making sure that I'm always doing, and it goes along with the employee mindset mentality, where you want to make sure that you're doing what you want to do. If you don't want to do it, it's okay to say, hey, this isn't it. You know, this isn't quite it. And let me maybe think about some other things to explore. Like maybe this business isn't what I want to do. And I need to get ready for analyzing when that is, you know? And so I think being true to myself always is another one of those rubber band moments where I'm like, you know, am I doing what I want to do? Am I happy? Am I succeeding in what you mentioned? My biggest measure for success is my mental health, being in a stable place, being there for my children, being happy, being and enjoying life, and not making work my life, which it has been for the past 16 years. You know, so am I, you know, achieving that goal on a consistent basis has been a struggle for me, because I return to that. I have to work all the time to make sure that the quality is there. I have to work all the time to make sure that I'm showing that I'm doing, you know, what's best. And I overdo and I overkill and I overthink so many things, and that takes away, and that makes me so that I can't reach that happiness goal. So I think getting out of my own way, getting out of that employee mindset have been my biggest struggles and something that I'm constantly reminding myself of. And the more I do it, the easier it becomes to snap out of it quickly. And hopefully one day it's gone. So that's been my struggle is, you know, keeping it authentic and keeping myself out of, you know, that feeling of being beholden to someone else.
Yeah. And it's a habit, right? Yeah. That was a habit that you developed to keep your job. And now you're at a new stage and you get to make the rules. And you talked about the rubber band thing. This is something that I've taught a lot of my, I've spoken on this, but I call it the rubber band method. Do you want to explain that a bit? Because you talked about it and I know exactly what you're talking about, but it works. It works.
It does.
It's a psychological thing and you can break habits that way and instill new habits. But do you want to explain that really quickly?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, that's just the first thing that popped into my mind as far as like how I snap out of it. But it's just like any feeling of insecurity that you have, you know, or like comparing yourself to others. If you let your mind go, it will go into very dark places typically, right? Especially women. I feel like we are always doubting ourselves. But what I have learned is that if I just say, shut up, brain. And by doing that, I'm snapping it. I'm hurting it. I'm, you know, like, you know, changing the direction of thought very quickly. It tamps it down and it doesn't allow for that thought process to go because that is a waste of time. We've all gone through that over and over and it just becomes a loop. And once I've realized that, and it's taken me years, and again, I'm still struggling with it. But what I know is that if I snap that rubber band and I feel that shock and it puts me back in focus, it takes me off of that negative path, I immediately start to get back into that focus and realize that the rest isn't worth it. And even if it starts to creep in, I already know what that thing is. I know that road. I've been there many, many times. I know it's not going to serve me. And so just knowing that and ignore by snapping myself out of it as much as I need to, you know, I think is what I mean by that. And just making sure that those insecurities and that negative thought and that comparing others and any kind of feelings of jealousy or I'm not good enough, that those are pushed away, because even if in that moment it's true, it doesn't matter. It's all about the mindset and getting your mind back onto the positive track and just knowing that even if something sucks or it fails, you're going to pull yourself up and find a way to make something work, you know, like you're not gonna just go off the deep end one day. You know, that allows me to get back to that place to feel like I'm just keeping that focus and keeping that eye on the prize at the end of the day.
It's true. And you talked about, you know, the negative thoughts, which we all have, how they can just slow us down and get in our way. And so to add on to the rubber band concept, it's what's called a brain interrupt, right? So you get the attention, you recognize the behavior. Oh, there it is. There's that negative Nelly coming in. So you snap seriously, you actually wear a rubber band as you're learning this technique. You haven't done it. And you snap and it does hurt. And it is going to interrupt that brain. But then the next step from there, if you're trying to break that habit of going into that negative place, is when you recognize, oh, I'm thinking this way, snap the rubber band and then replace it with three positives. And what will happen over time is if you do this consistently is the key.
Yes.
You will retrain your brain to think more positively. And Amy, it sounds like you have. And so when you're talking, you're very intentful with what you're creating and what you're about. And you realize, yeah, it might change a little bit, but you know the bigger overarching theme that you want to be true for your life and for your family. And that's the key. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go off and decide, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be an entrepreneur because I don't mind working a gazillion hours and, you know, not being able to shut the door and walk away. It's just, you know, that's part of the entrepreneur mentality, but or lifestyle, but it's yours.
Right.
It's
absolutely
yours. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So if someone is looking for an HR expert who happens to also be an HR or an employment attorney and has worked in corporate, isn't that like a triple threat, Amy? Seriously? Come
I
on.
hope so. I think so.
It is. Where should they go? Where can they find out more about you?
Well, I am very, well, pretty active on LinkedIn. I have a business page on LinkedIn, but I also have a website where you can book a free consultation, and it's www.workscouncil. And that's CounSel.com. And my website has, a ton of information about me and also the different services that I offer. So that and, just going to LinkedIn, you can kind of lead through all of the different areas to get to that as well, pretty simply. So yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me and my team, and hopefully, I can solve some pretty big issues.
Yeah, with less headache.
Yes,
Thank you
much
so
less.
much. This was awesome. We hit on a number of things that are so important for us women
Yes.
that we all go through. But I truly loved how you talked about the overarching. You
Yeah.
know, what do we want? What's the lifestyle that we want? How do we work backwards from that so that we can achieve that goal and stay on that path? And that's really the crux of it all. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It was great being with you. I appreciate it.